Good morning.
Good morning.
We do welcome everybody. It looks like everybody that I see is a regular. We will observe the sacrament of the Lord's Supper this morning. Pastor Miller is not here to lead us in it. He's in the hospital with another episode of his pseudo-instruction, as far as I understand. Let's take a moment to quiet our hearts for worship. In a moment, we'll hear God's call. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let us pray. Our God, we are glad that we are numbered amongst the redeemed, and we give you thanks for that. We acknowledge that we are numbered amongst the redeemed because of the awful cost of the blood of your Son, Jesus. We give you thanks for that. We are glad that as you're redeemed, we are brought into your courts in praise. We are glad that we are brought in to meet before you, to receive your blessing, to receive your instruction, to bring honor and praise and glory to you. Our God, we pray that you will meet with us this morning. We ask that you would comfort each heart. We ask that you would listen to each prayer. And our God, we bring you our prayers in the name of the one who taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Slightly modernized words are found on page 845. And we will use these words as we speak. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. If you will turn in your Bibles to Psalm 138, we'll read this for our sermon lesson this morning. In the Pew Bibles, I'm finding it here, page 408. And I think I might, page 409. The print is so small, I was confusing 136 with 138. It's 138 that I'd like to read. Okay. I will bless you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. And thus far, the reading of God's word. But let us join in prayer, giving thanks to God and bringing our supplications to him as well. Our God, we might think constantly of our needs. Our psalm writer in Psalm 69 spoke of his needs and of the needs of the nation. But he also spoke of the salvation that is in you. He spoke of you as the hope of your people, the source, the confidence, the one we rely upon. And so, our God, regardless of how needy we are, or regardless of how needy somebody that we know is, our God, we are glad to turn to you. We know that you've told us, you've ordered us to pray, but we also realize that, prayer is such a pleasure, and prayer is such a resource. It is amazing that we don't turn to it more often, oh God. Father, we pray for your care in families. We ask that you would keep husbands and wives true to each other. We ask that you would keep parents true to their calling as parents. We ask that you would turn the hearts of children to parents, teaching them to obey in the Lord, teaching them to grow up in every way in the wisdom of the Lord Jesus. We ask that you would give that kind of success in our families and that you would be glorified. And Father, we ask that you would minister amongst us this morning. Use your word as we look at it, think about it, speak of it. We ask, too, that you would use your supper to challenge and to comfort us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in case you didn't notice, today is communion. And there is a strong theme of thanksgiving in communion. The accounts of the Last Supper in our Gospels, in the New Testament, refer to Jesus giving thanks. If he spoke Greek, he would say, O charisteo, I give you thanks, O God. Some Christians refer to the Lord's Supper as thanksgiving. They call it the Eucharist. As I said, the words of Jesus lead them to do that, or 1 Corinthians 14 leads them to do that. Now, we don't hear so much call this thanksgiving or Eucharist, but even we refer to thanksgiving as we conduct the Lord's Supper. In it, we say God calls us to deeper gratitude, and we offer prayers of thanksgiving for the bread and the wine. Now, in some ways, there are really no great secrets about thanksgiving. It's one of those things that it's hard to imagine the world getting along without. For example, suppose someone risked their necks for your life, like Priscilla and Aquila did for Paul. I don't know if you know that story well, but you can read all about it in Romans chapter 16. Suppose someone risked their necks for your life. I don't know if that has ever happened to you. If you are a parent, you may have risked your necks for the life of your kids almost all the time, right? I mean, you would run into the middle of I-80 if it was filled with Allen's competitors racing along at 85 miles an hour with deadlines they have to catch up to. You would go after your child if your child was there, correct? I do recall my mother rescuing me from certain intersections when I was 2 years old. I don't recall it. She did. They do. My parents do. But suppose someone risked their necks for your life, as I said, like Priscilla and Aquila did for Paul in Romans 16. You would almost certainly render them thanks. And Paul says, I give Priscilla and Aquila thanks along with all the churches of the Gentiles. They risk their necks for me and they receive thanks. Now, even if someone doesn't risk their neck for you, but does a little favor for you that happens to change your life so much for the better, certainly then thanks would be in order, right? There was a time when Jesus healed 10 lepers. And one out of the 10 lepers returned to thank Jesus, giving glory to God. Jesus noticed that, but he also said, "Where are the 9? He said other things at that time that might be more important, but you do get the feeling that the 9 lepers who didn't come back to say thanks in any way were wrong. That's probably another thing your parents might beat into you. You must say thank you. You must say thank you. You must say thank you. This morning on the way here, I had to call Lori and ask her to tell Kathy, "Would you start Sunday school?" Sherry is driving, and Sherry is constantly pounding into my ear, "Say thank you, say thank you, say thank you, say thank you." I said thank you when I got here. Okay? But thanks is something that you really probably cannot imagine the world getting along without. And if you know who it is who has really served you, you can't forget the role of thanks in relating to Him. We have these words from Romans, "Foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. And he who eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks." Thanks and relating to the Lord are intimately related. You might be surprised how many meals mentioned in the New Testament are mentioned and reported, and also thanksgiving is mentioned at the same time. Even when a certain bunch of people are trying to keep their ship from going down, they have a meal, and thanksgiving is offered at that time. And even Jesus created the food way back at the beginning. When he broke bread, though, he gave thanks while serving it. God has really served you and me in creation, and thanks is so appropriate. And when God in his providence brings you success in something really difficult, thanks are in order. Like, let's say you have just traveled halfway across the world as you know it, and your trip has included some time working your way across land, and it has included several times where you've been on a ship, several times when the ship has been in danger, several times where you have had to wait for weather or wait for the end of winter. And then finally, you get close to the city of Rome, and some people that you have wanted to see so bad, namely the Christians in Rome, come down the way and meet you. It is really appropriate to give thanks to God at that time. Getting to Rome was no walk in the park for Paul, but when he saw some Roman Christians coming out to greet him, he gave thanks to God. You and I are blessed by God's provision every single day, and thanks are in order. And when God prolongs, and when God in His mercy prolongs your life, even in the midst of extreme trials and sufferings. Paul writes like this: "We had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that He will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many." That's from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, perhaps the passage you might know well, where he speaks of the God of all comfort. He says, we were as close to death as you could imagine. We were delivered from that. That death was probably pressed upon them by persecutors, but they were delivered from that. And he says, and thanksgiving has ascended to God from many. Thanks goes right along with all of these great deliverances of God. If God in his saving grace has served you in the ultimate way, thanks is definitely appropriate. We have these words in Colossians. We pray that you are giving thanks to the Father. We pray that you are giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, Paul there reminds people of the great saving work of God that has been done for their sake. And he says, we are praying that you are thanking God for these things. Romans 6, he says, may God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. If God has served you in that ultimate way of salvation, definitely he deserves thanks. We speak of people being delivered from darkness, delivered into the kingdom of his dear Son. We speak of the blood of the Son washing away sins. We have redemption. We are brought back to God from awful darkness. Those are things to thank God for. And in case there is any one of you here who might say, yeah, but all I can think about right now are my continuing sins. I believe in the forgiveness of sins, yeah. I even believe in deliverance from the power of sin and such, but all I can think of right now are my continuing sins. Try remembering Paul's own words about himself. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, God will do it through Jesus Christ. There is no insufficiency in what God has done for us. There is nothing that he has left out, and there is nothing that he will not complete. If you know the forgiveness of sins, but you also are burdened by continuing sin, give thanks to God for his intentions. He will deal with that. The final result of our redemption is displayed very, very nicely in the book of Revelations, chapter 7. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And he said to me, these who are in the white robes are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There is nothing left out of the work of God for his beloved. There is no way that he will not bring them into that final blessed state where they will not need to weep over their sins anymore, because Jesus has done it all. Jesus is the Lamb who serves as the shepherd. Jesus is the one who provides. And the word thanksgiving shows up in the middle of all that scene. No surprise. Thanksgiving goes along with everything that God does for us. Thanksgiving especially goes along with his wondrous work of salvation. One purpose of communion, this special remembrance of the death of Christ, is to call you to deeper gratitude for your salvation. I've tried to read you a few passages that are related to your salvation. You know that we could read hundreds of others. We won't do that. But communion really is meant to call you to deeper gratitude for your salvation. And I urge you this morning, try letting this Lord's Supper do that for you. Let this Lord's Supper do that for you, for the sake of your joy. Let us pray. Father, what can we say? There is nothing we have that has not been given. There is nothing about grace that we deserve. There is nothing that we have to depend upon except your kindness. Our God, we ask that we would acknowledge that. We ask that we would do that with thankful hearts. We ask that you would receive words of thanksgiving from us day by day, not just in worship services or in gatherings, but that we would be known as thankful people, acknowledging the wonders of your provision day by day and acknowledging the wonders of your salvation, which takes care of forever. Father, we do want to be grateful people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. But let us turn to the words of institution that we have. I'll use 1 Corinthians 10. Make that 11. Let us contemplate Jesus' words in instituting the supper and some words of instruction that go with it as well. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Thus far the reading of God's word. The Lord's Supper is an ordinance instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. Until his coming again, it is to be observed for a perpetual remembrance of the sacrifice of himself in his death. The physical elements representing the broken body and the shed blood of the Savior are received by true believers as signs and seals of all the benefits of his sacrifice upon the cross. They signify and seal remission of sins and nourishment and growth in Christ, and are a bond and pledge of communion of believers with him and with each other as members of his body. As signs and seals of the covenant of grace, they not only declare that God is faithful and true to fulfill the promises of the covenant, but they also summon us to all the duties of the children of God and call us to renewed consecration in gratitude, in thankfulness for his salvation. It is my solemn duty to warn the uninstructed, the profane, the scandalous, and those who secretly and impenitently live in any sin, not to approach the holy table, lest they partake unworthily, not discerning the Lord's body, and so eat and drink condemnation to themselves. Nevertheless, this warning is not designed to keep the humble and contrite from the table of the Lord, as if the supper were for those who might be free from sin. On the contrary, we who are invited to the supper, coming as guilty and polluted sinners and without hope of eternal life, apart from the grace of God in Christ, we confess our dependence for pardon and cleansing upon the perfect sacrifice of Christ. We base our hope of eternal life upon his perfect obedience and righteousness, and we humbly resolve to deny ourselves, to crucify our old natures, and to follow Christ as becomes those who bear his name. Let us therefore, in accordance with the admonition of the Apostle Paul, examine our minds and hearts to determine whether such discernment is ours, to the end that we may partake to the glory of God and to our growth in the grace of Christ. Let us take a moment to each examine ourselves. Our God, we give you thanks for the broken body of Christ, the broken body and the shed blood. Father, we confess that it is out of the deep love that you have had for us, the everlasting love. It is out of that love that you sent your Son. It is out of that love that your Son eagerly came to do your will. For our sakes, he took upon himself our nature, and in that nature suffered and died for us. Father, we are overwhelmed with this. We're overwhelmed with the knowledge of our sin, but we're also overwhelmed with the knowledge of salvation. We give you thanks that you not only welcome us into your presence because of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you have also spread this table for the sake of our nourishment and grace. We do ask that you would use these elements deeply in each one of our lives. We ask that we would be different, that we would be more devoted, that we would be more devoted in gratitude, thankfulness, and service. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, having taken bread and blessed it and broken it, gave it to his disciples, as I, ministering in his name, give this bread unto you, saying, take, eat, this is his body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Jesus. Jesus told you this is his body. Take and eat of it in remembrance of him. Our Savior also took the cup, and having given thanks, as has been done in his name, he gave it to his disciples, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Drink of it, all of you. Jesus said, this cup is the new covenant in his blood. Drink of it, all of you. Our God, you have served us. You have spread this table before us. You have used these simple elements to remind us deeply of what you have done. You are present with us. You invigorate faith within us. You use that faith to receive these precious things. Lord God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the marvelous things that you've done, but we've also given you thanks for this moment and these tokens, reminding us of your work. Lord God, we would truly want to make this a remembrance of the Lord Jesus, where we not only mention the events, but we actually devote ourselves to him. We ask that that would be true. We thank you that it has been true for so many millions. You will gather all of your sheep. Our God, we give you our prayers and our thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.